Welcome to the all-new episode of Sip the Sauce. I'm your host, Lydia, and today I have with me two of my good friends from college. We weren't just college friends, but we were also sorority sisters. I have Miss Janita coming in from Iowa.
Hello.
And I have Morgan from Minneapolis.
Hi.
So today's episode is called North versus South, and I did this episode just because I, growing up in Houston, took the big step and went to college in Iowa, and let me tell you about culture shock. It happened, it was real, and it was hilarious. I have a feeling my freshman year roommate, she cracked up all the time over the crazy shit I said and did because, you know, I remember the first week or two really hit home for me because I would say all the time, I'm fixing to go look at TV. And she was like, excuse me? And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I'm fixing to go look at TV. And she goes, you're about to go watch TV? And I was like, same difference. And she goes, no, one says that you are just going to watch a TV that is not on. And the other one says you're going to watch actually a show on the TV. Oh, I was like, she kept on doing that. And so by the time I was done, I was like, everyone hates me. They talk about how I talk. This is all I know. I'm fixing to lose my shit.
And it's so funny you say that. Like, I'm trying to think now. Have I ever heard you say fixin'? Because you know I would have said something.
I stopped after my freshman year of college. I stopped because everybody said something.
You stopped until you moved back to Houston after college, and then you said it all the time.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
She came back home.
Yeah, once I got back to my safe place, I am fixin' to go look at TV. So that kind of rolls into my first topic, which is we're talking about the North, but I guess specifically we're talking about the Midwest because that is where y'all are located. So I would like to know, can y'all tell me what states are considered Midwest?
Ooh, that is a good debate.
And I'd like to point out these are two teachers, so let's just...
I don't know why you got to put us on blast like that, because there's a debate even within the Midwest of who is considered Midwest. I'm originally from Illinois, so we are part of the Midwest. I just want to put that out there. Yes.
Yeah, I would say like North, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan.
Not Nebraska. Okay. I'd put Nebraska in Midwest.
Would you? I wouldn't put Nebraska in there.
See, and I had a whole thing with a friend who was like, we're further west than you are. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. I think Midwest, I think farms. So that's where my brain or just barren nothing going on in the world.
So that case, Nebraska does fit in.
Yes.
So how do y'all feel? Because they include Ohio and Indiana in the Midwest. I feel like they're too east.
See, and this is where it gets a little tight, because when I think of East Coast, I think of like more mean people, and that sounds terrible. And like, I think of the Midwest, like homie vibe. And so maybe I would include Indiana and Ohio, but definitely not Pennsylvania.
I've never, Pennsylvania is not. Bad. I mean, Ohio, yes.
Yeah.
I guess.
But I think it's because no one really thinks about Indiana or Ohio ever. So.
And I'm just like trying to remember, like, where are they? I don't know how I passed geography.
To say, so it's Illinois, then it's Indiana, then it's Ohio. So if you're going to include Ohio, you got to include Indiana because it's in the middle.
Yeah, you only have to drive through like a tiny bit of Indiana to get to Ohio.
Yeah,
you can have to drive through.
And in Illinois, it's like Indiana's like right there. I know they have farmland, but again, I don't know much about Indiana. I've been to Ohio. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
But I think we can
they're the cousins that no one talks about.
That's true. Like down here, it's Mississippi. I call them the dirty armpit of the South.
Or Mississippi.
It's true. I mean, it's true. But I think we can all agree on Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois. Ooh, we forgot one. How do we feel about Missouri?
Missouri. Okay, but so do you cut it off at the Mason-Dixon line? That line right there.
So if you do, isn't that like... So when I went to Missouri for the first time, I was told very bluntly, there's two parts to this state. There's Missouri and Missouri. Oh. You don't want to be in Missouri. You would prefer to be in Missouri. And so I would consider like Missouri was probably Midwest, but not Missouri. I don't know.
You know, I guess... So my stepmom is from outside St. Louis, and she is Southern, like Southern. But my sister-in-law lives in Kansas City, and other than the weather, because I feel like the weather is part of the Midwest too. Like, you gotta be able to handle your winters, and like. Kansas City doesn't have the weather, but it's more Midwest than like St. Louis is in my head, I guess.
Yeah, that weather gets in there.
Okay, well then, so if you say that, then do you add Kansas to the list?
No.
No?
Kansas is not in the Midwest. No.
What is Kansas in? Is it the South?
The South.
Ew, really?
Yes, Kansas is part of your town, your area. Okay, Lydia, you have to take Kansas.
Okay, so now that we know like what the Midwest is, there's many misconceptions about the North or the Midwest and the South. And some of them are right and some of them are wrong. I just want to get into that because, again, I left the South, moved up North, and Morgan, you left the North and then after college and moved down South and then went back. And then Janita, you went from Illinois to Iowa.
Oh, I already knew I couldn't go nowhere. I can't go further North. It's too damn cold. I couldn't go South. It's too damn hot. So I'm going to stay where I'm at and I'm going to deal with the snow and complain about it, but at least I know what's up.
There you go. So moving to Iowa, I mean, when I left, like family, friends, everything, people were like preparing me like I was going to another country. I was told that don't go into the cornfields. I'm not going to eat. People are assholes and good luck. That's what I was told. Going up there. But I have to say, all of that was not right, 100%. The people are very warm. I never ran into anybody who was like super rude or super mean. You find out really quickly, like in my first couple weeks, I found out that people in the Midwest talk so different depending on where they're from. Mm-hmm. And so everybody talks about the Southern accent. Well, you could kind of say, you know, it's kind of the same accent. There's a little bit of a twang and difference kind of between states and areas. But being up there, it was different. And you could say, okay, that person's from Minnesota. And that one's from Illinois. And then that one's from Nebraska. And that one, oh shit, that one's from North Dakota. You know, like.
But then you could also get like this person's from Illinois, but this person's from Chicago. And you can definitely hear a difference, right? Like,
oh, yes. Or like this person's from northern Minnesota, like Little Canada. And then that one is from like normal Minnesota. Cause I ran into a lot of little, yeah. I think I met my fair share of people that came from Little Canada, and those people are a little odd. They seem like true Canadians. I wanted to see some passports. So let's see. The people were nicer than everybody told me they would be. The food was different. I'm not going to say it wasn't. A lot more casseroles in my life than I had down here, but they did not. They weren't bad. I think the weirdest thing, which now I eat on the normal, but I went to someone's house and they were having like a little dinner party and they were doing snacks and they were like, oh, we eat this all the time. And they took ham and the cream cheese and the pickle and they rolled it up and cut it. And I was like, what's that? That's an interesting combination. It was delicious and I loved it. But when I saw it, I was like, oof. This is not something
I'm going to say, Lydia, like coming from Illinois, I grew up in Chicago, lived in suburbs. There were a lot of things in Iowa that were weird and different. Now that you said about the casseroles, I'm like, I do cook a lot of casseroles now that I've lived in Iowa for so long. And now I feel judged.
I don't cook that many casseroles because I started to do the majority of my cooking when I lived in Houston. So like,
there you go.
I can make a shepherd's pie or a tater tot hot dish, but a hot dish, not casserole, right? Like,
right, it's a hot dish.
But I don't make that many. Like,
now that I think about it, I like feel weird. I'm like, yeah, we do a lot of casseroles. And like when I was a kid, we didn't have casseroles. I'm like, I didn't really realize what was going on until oh my goodness, I'm part of Iowa. Yeah,
you are. You and your casseroles.
Joe did have an egg bake today. It was delicious.
So now that we've talked about my perception and my experience going to the North, so what are some of the misconceptions or perceptions y'all have about the South?
Well, there's so many. No, there aren't. Mine I'm just playing.
Misconceptions that like, a lot of them got destroyed, and then some of them were just like totally amplified. Yeah.
Which ones? Tell me about those.
Oh, gosh. So, like, I don't know. I generally don't think like people in the Midwest are like fast paced and uptight, but like totally like rushing. But like Texas is just a different, like, you're going to go to the mall and you're going to get stuck behind people walking. And it's not just like one group of people. Like everyone is just taking their sweet ass time to go from point A to point B. And it's just like calm and relaxed. And like, I also just expected everyone to have an accent. And honestly, Lydia, I don't know how you have such a strong accent because very few people that I interacted with in Houston actually had accents. Like, I think maybe that's because Houston's such a transplant city anyways that you get people from all over.
I blame it on my dad. He's from Alabama. And so he has got a heavy little accent. And I think mine kicks in and kicks out. I basically felt like I lost mine when I was in Iowa. But it came back pretty quickly once I moved back here.
One of my misconceptions is everyone in the South is racist. And I was going to be murdered the moment I came down there.
I actually had that same misconception.
Yes.
I did.
And it was scary, like just not knowing, and because you're what you see that's depicted on TV and then in the news, you're like, oh my goodness, why? You and Lydia, we didn't have these conversations. You keep trying to get me to move to Houston. I'm like, girl, you have people that's going to kill me.
So I think people in Texas also think that people from the Midwest have zero experience with people of color, because my very first teaching job was in Houston teaching at a fifth and sixth grade school. And I will never forget this man who was a math teacher was like trying to give me advice on how to handle things. And he was like, oh, you went to college in Iowa? Okay. Well, we have black kids here. And I was like, okay. like this guy was just like, I just like really don't smile at the kids ever. Don't be nice. Like they are going to eat you alive. And, you know, like 3 weeks into school and like I've got my kids walking behind me in a straight line going from class to class and they're quiet and they're listening to me and we're having fun and I'm smiling and laughing and he is struggling. And I was like, okay. But totally, right? Like, he totally thought that I had never had any interactions with anyone who wasn't white, you know, like, it's like,
oh. Like, I am not like Annie from the prairie. Like, I've been out.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, you know, interesting. How you said you thought when you came to Texas, like everyone was racist and stuff like that, because, you know, I think that's not a horrible misconception. It depends on where you go. Yep. You know, Houston is a very international city. Lots of transplants because of, you know, the healthcare industry we have here and oil and gas. There's just a lot of diversity in Houston. I would definitely say Houston is diverse. Take your show to Dallas, you might have the experience you think you would have had it, you know, you would have. That kind of plays into the whole thing where Houstonians aren't a fan of Dallas people and Dallas people don't like Houston. It's because we are that different. Houston is very progressive, in my opinion, very open, and Dallas is just... I'm from Houston, so I have nothing good to say about Dallas. So let's have Morgan chime in.
I was raising my hand because I didn't want to like jump in. Such anything.
A teacher.
I was just actually going to say, one of the most like standout conversations of my early career in Texas, I was down there for 7 years, was with Lydia. And at the time, I was dating a Black man, and I was just blown away at these outright comments that both he and I would get when we were out together. And we were talking about it, Lydia. I don't know if you remember this. And Lydia said,
I do.
You know, I actually prefer the racism of the South because it's just out there and you know who's racist and who's not, versus people in the Midwest who like to pretend that they're not, but they actually are. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I think it was like 6 months after I moved back home that I sent Lydia a message. And I was like, holy shit, I get what you were talking about. Yes.
And I saw that a lot when I went to Chicago. You know, Chicago is praised as being a great, like, hustling, bustling city and whatnot. And so when I went there for the first time as an adult, I had been there as a child, but as an adult to go there, you know, I was assuming it was going to be similar to Houston, because in Houston, you can live next to anybody. You know, I have one neighbor that's white. I have an Asian neighbor. I have a Hispanic neighbor. I have a Black neighbor. You have all different races in my neighborhood. And I live in the suburbs. So that, you know, that's a caveat to it. It's way more diverse in the suburbs, depending on what side of town. But when I got to Illinois or to Chicago specifically, I assumed I'd find the same thing, and I did not. There was a straight out, there was a Jewish section, there was, you know, the white section, there was the Black section, there was the Hispanic Italian section. The Italian. Every race had their own section. And I remember when I went down, I left something in a friend of mine's car who I drove in with, and she was Jewish and she lived in the Jewish area, but my cousins lived in the Black area. So when I told them, like, hey, I left something in her car, I need to go get it before I fly home. They had a little attitude about having to drive into the Jewish part of the town. And that blew my mind. And that really actually started making me see, like, okay, racism's a little different up here. Like, people just, it's just not obvious. You have to really dig in and listen to, like, key words to be like, ooh, you're one of them.
I'm trying to think of the word to, like, what did you say, Morgan?
I said it's the microaggressions up here.
Like, yes.
It's not
polite
outright
racism.
It's that passive racism.
Not polite.
Like that,
yes.
That Midwest passiveness.
Mm-hmm.
which is so, that was so interesting. And when we had that conversation, Morgan, like that was real. Like I had personally a good experience up there. I'm also very oblivious to things. My parents raised me to just be a good person, be nice. And if someone else has something nasty to say, you just go about your day and let them be an asshole. And so that's just, I think I've always been pretty oblivious and kind of skate over a lot of things that I probably could have, you know, mm-hmm. bitched about or paid attention to. So overall for me, I feel like it was a good experience up there. But I think the more and more that I just was in the world up there and learning to deal with people, I noticed it's a lot trickier, you know. And I'm sure everybody has their own opinion, but for me, if you don't like me, I prefer to know, and then I'm just going to stay out your way. You're going to stay out my way, and we're going to, you know, we're going to go our separate ways. And I think in our conversation, Morgan, I've said it because, you know, racism, slavery, all that stuff, you get hit smack dab in the face down here with it. You know, it's in the history, it's in the culture. So it's talked about within your family. It's talked about, you know, in school to a certain extent. It's something that you are aware of and you know about it. But in the Midwest, you know, like you said, that passive aggressive, you know, just fly over it and act like it's not there, even though it is there.
Oh, Lydia, that's a whole show you need to do. That's a good one. Like, yeah. When you there think about it, like you said, the history is there in your face, and up here it's not. So when you encounter it, it's kind of like, oh, I didn't realize that you were just. That just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I had an incident at work where, you know, I needed to get a new badge for work. Well, we all go to the same place to get our badges. Well, I didn't have mine with me, and I was interrogated until I could get in the building. I wasn't dressed like a slob. It wasn't like I had my jeans on and a sweatshirt. I was dressed nicely. And when I finally got into the HR, then the woman had the nerve to ask me if I worked in the kitchen. Oh. And it was one of those moments where you're like, there's nothing wrong with working in food and services, but I don't work there. I'm a teacher, and I've been a teacher in this district for the last 10 years. Are you serious? And it's those, I get a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you go, But like you said, if in the South, it's just in your face. Okay. I probably, like you said, I appreciate it. So now I know. Steer clear of you.
Mm-hmm. I will put a caveat on this, that when we say it's in your face and a little bit more open in the South, I specifically mean Texas. The South is a big place, you know? And so when you leave Texas going east, in my opinion, things just get shittier as you go down the road. Just get more racy as you go. I mean,
think about when we were in New Orleans. I was a little afraid to get on that alligator boat because I was like, are we going to come back? We in the swamps, y'all. They could totally just bury our asses as two black girls and a Mexican girl. Those are my moments of the South.
That is very true.
That is true.
I mean, that's true.
My brother-in-law and his wife live in Virginia. And never in my head until I'd been there thought Virginia was the South, right? Because like it's on the East Coast, but they no, are. Virginia is very, very South. Like Washington and Lee University is named for Robert E. Lee, and there are like Confederate tours everywhere, and it is like shocking the places that are named after Robert E. Lee, and like the like just like. I don't know. I mean, obviously living in Texas, Well, obviously living in Texas, you know, you'd see a Confederate flag on like a bumper sticker or something here and there. But they're like everywhere in Virginia. And I remember, like, I mean, the first time I was out there was like 6 years ago. And I just remember being like completely shocked. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's part of the East Coast Southern. They are some backwards ass folks still out there. I mean, I think in my own opinion, I give Louisiana a pass because, you know, swamp people. And I know things are just backwards in Louisiana. Like, I give Louisiana a hard pass. And part of it is because I have family out there. So I feel like I've got to be like, ooh, you know, I'm tied to them. But after that, I mean, we are in 2021 and Mississippi is still a haul your ass through the state. Don't be there after dark if you're not white. I don't care what race you are. If you're not white, don't be there after dark. That's still my feeling on Mississippi.
I feel like Mississippi as a whole is a sundown state. Don't be there.
Yeah. Like armpit of America. But I mean, ugh, Mississippi.
Can I make a comment about like segregation in schools? Mm-hmm. And like totally, you know, maybe isn't relevant at all. But like our schools are still so segregated with our teachers, right? Like, I don't know. Living in Houston, teaching in Houston, my principal down there was so conscious of the teachers she had in her building and the diversity of the teachers. And she would, I don't know if it's probably not legal, but she would say, I'm looking for a Latino male to teach this class. We really need that. Or I'm looking for a Black woman to teach this class. Like, that's really what we need. And like, so strategic in making sure that teachers of color were in front of students of color. And we don't have that up here. Like, and there aren't, like, that I keep having these conversations with my superintendent or assistant superintendent. Now she used to be my principal, but like, why don't we have more than two Black teachers? And she's like, she's a Black woman also. And she's like, I'm trying, but I can't get the applicants. Like, well, I mean, of course, if you have students of color coming through a school system, that Minnesota worst gap in the nation for students of color, right? You have students of color coming through a school system where they aren't honored, where they don't see teachers who look like them, who have bad experiences. Why the hell do you think they're going to want to turn around and go back into that system as an educator? You know, like, sorry, just a little.
Well, I know you, girl. That's an amazing point. Like, that's an amazing point because both of y'all are in that situation. Janita, I've heard your stories. I feel like you're only one of a handful of minority teachers in your building, right?
I'm the only Black teacher. I'm the only teacher of color in the entire building.
So
rephrase that. There, we do have a kid. She is Latina, so.
Okay.
But I mean, on the outside, you would think that she's white. You would not know, but I know she is. And, you know, but really, we had another Black teacher 1 year. And like for a couple of years, it was just me and him. But I have, there's a friend of my friend. He will still say to me like, oh, you're still working out in, he didn't say cotton fields, but, oh, you're still there like that. And it's like, well, the teacher friends, they're my friends and I love my students. This year, I did notice a difference in my classroom. I have the majority of the students of color. Like I call my room the little United Nations because compared to my teammate, half the majority of my classroom out of my 21 students are of color and she has four now. Out of her 22. So, you know, 15 versus 4 is sometimes it just makes you wonder. But she got like all the PTO parents who are mainly white.
So, do you think or have you ever had a situation where a parent of a minority student has asked for them to be in your class? Do you know?
We usually aren't told, but I know there have, some of my kids have come to me and some parents just don't care. I know I've been requested for some families, but it's never been because it's a family of color. It's more okay. just because of who I am as a teacher. But I have mm-hmm. had students, you know, I had one little boy who said, I want to be in her room because I'll never have a Black teacher. Because Mm-mm. when you get into middle school, our middle school, there are no Black teachers at our middle school. I don't even think there are any teachers of color at our middle school that our kids are feed into. Our high school is a little different. You know, like our boy Darius he is the principal of one of our high schools now. Yes.
He is?
Yes, he was interim principal this past year, and this year he'll be actual principal. And so that was because, otherwise, no, like you're saying, otherwise all the principals are white.
Well, and like, I don't know about your experience in Illinois, Janita, but like, I have never had a teacher of color in my entire education. Never.
I, in elementary, never had a Black teacher, middle school, high school. No, I had, I think my, which is interesting, my Spanish teacher, I think he was Indian. Yeah, I know. But then I think I'm like, maybe he was Hispanic and I just, no, he was Indian. And then my geometry teacher was, she was European. So, I mean, she's still white. She was European though, but that's the extent of having a teacher of color. And now that I think about it, at Cornell, I don't think I had a teacher of color. I'm trying to think.
I did not.
I don't think.
Do we have any Black professors?
No, not any Black ones. You had some Indian, I think in the chemistry or the science department, there was an Indian guy. I think there was an Indian guy in the business department.
Like when you I think about it, I'm like,
that's it.
No. That, and I was honestly a diversity hire. They were looking for more teachers of color when they hired me. Because I had three interviews before I went and was hired by our district, but that was their initiative, which is always funny that I think about it because I was supposed to get a bonus because of this. And then they told me I didn't have enough points to be Black. And I was like, what? Yeah. Yes. So like I had to fill out a thing about like, I call it my Blackness. And because Cornell wasn't diverse and my high school wasn't diverse, I essentially didn't qualify for getting the bonus after they told me I would have it. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That is ridiculous.
I'm sorry. So a school district in Iowa run by presumably majority white people didn't find you, and I'm using air quotes, Black enough to give you this bonus?
For a diversity hire. And I said, what? Yeah, I didn't qualify. And because I had a contract that I had signed, they hadn't signed it, but I'm like, you gave it to me, showing me what I would receive for the next 3 years if I stayed on with you guys. And then you tell me, oh, well, we didn't sign it. So it's not actually, it's not, what's the word? It's valid. Not valid. And when we went through your application, you didn't have enough points.
What?
But, you know, it's funny you talk about, you know, having, I will say, diverse teaching growing up. So in elementary, I know I had a Black teacher when I was in fifth grade. And I know I had a couple other ethnicities that weren't white in like growing up, like in the elementary school. When I got to high school or junior high, sorry, I definitely had a couple non-white teachers. And then when I got to high school, I would say like half of my teachers. Now, when I went to the AP classes, I had less diversity in those teachers. But like my normal classes, I had, you know, not just, you know, different races, but I also had different genders. I had male teachers, which was a big thing. Like I didn't have a male teacher until I went to high school. So again, very different. And, you know, I think about, you know, especially Morgan, you were saying about the talking to your assistant superintendent. I mean, if they wanted diversity, do you think they could go and recruit at HBUs?
Oh,
and make it attractive for them? Because like, I guess I think about it that way, because when you came down to Houston, like a lot of people came down to Houston, came down to Arizona, like down here. And I thought it was because y'all were like actively recruited at those teacher fairs. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it's like, could these teachers or these districts not go to HBUs and make it an offer that they can't refuse to get more diverse teachers up there? I know it's, you know, again, they're stereotypes moving up there. But
I'm actually going to email my assistant superintendent, who was my principal for the last couple of years, and send her that suggestion and tell her about this conversation.
Because that's a really good idea.
That's a great idea.
Thank you. You're welcome. Lydia Brock here.
I do it all.
Send that bonus your way.
But, you know, I think that would be an amazing kind of thing to do, because coming out of your senior year, you're like dying wanting a teaching job. Like, you know, you need one and you want one. And it's like, I need a teaching job. And if, you know, I would assume like, hey, it's a gamble. I've never been up there, but hey, I know I can have a contract by the time I graduate or right after I graduate. And it's a decent pay and or whatever bells and whistles they're allowed to give. I think that's a way you get some diversity up there. And these, you know, that would be a big money move right there for the district. And, you know, you can't tell me districts don't get a little something from the state if you have a more diverse teaching pool.
I'm sure there's got to
be a little, it's got to be a little padding
something from the federal pocket. Government.
Mm-hmm.
Especially up here, while you're, you know, everything's all about that achievement gap. It's all we're ever talking about. Like, we're finally to a point where we are addressing, like, our achievement gap is like our teachers don't look like our students. And there's.
Yes. We talk about it, but there's nothing done about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can keep talking about how to approach our students and like we have huge ELL populations and how to help them and what we can do, but I'm like, they also don't look like you. There's a difference. And I know like my teaching style isn't always loved from some parents, because I'm very much how I was raised. It's like, one, you don't speak to adults like this. You are not in charge. And a lot of these kids want to be in charge in the classroom. And I'm sorry, you are not. You're not the adult here. Sit down.
And that's what those little badass children need, too. They need a strong hand telling them, learn your place.
Like, hey, 20 more years of this is like, so long. So long, guys. It's so long.
I have like a strong, like, I think Texas is, we're like country folk, and I feel like the rest of the South are like Southerners, because like when you think about if you don't know, and you just say Southern, you think about super heavy accents and the pastels and the big ass bows on the head and everything's monogrammed. That's not Texas. That's like South Carolina. That's Georgia. That's Alabama. That's Mississippi. That's
bow. Are you talking like Steel Magnolias kind of deal?
I think like that's them. We're like,
so
get your Lydia, boots dirty, folks.
Is Texas a little bougie and they think they're better than the other southern states? Let's be real.
100%.
Yes.
Not better than the other southern states. Texas thinks they're better than all the states.
That is true. Yeah. I cannot lie. I know my people, and my people believe that we're better than everybody.
Now Texans are their own people. See, this is the problem with y'all.
Do you know that Texas has their own pledge?
We do.
Do you want me to tell you what it is? I learned this on my first day at my first job.
Hit it, Morgan.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Fun fact that I was told is that they just added under God when the rest of the country was trying to decide if they should remove it.
See, y'all be on that bullshit. You must forget your own pledge. I can't.
I was also told that I could lead a prayer during a moment of silence. And then I went to the office and I was like, I don't think that I'm going to fit in here. I'm not going to lead a prayer. And they're like, no, you should not ever lead a prayer. And I was like, okay, maybe you should talk to that person who was just telling me that. Then I need to leave.
Good stuff. Okay. Well, so next thing I want to run into, this is a little, not test, but we're just going to see if you can tell me if these dishes or the names I'm about to give you are real food dishes or fake food dishes.
Okay.
First one, burgoo.
Huh?
Burgoo. B-U-R-G-O-O.
Fake.
Fake.
It is real. I'll read to you what it is. The most modern restaurants serve versions made with pork or chicken. Traditional burgoo includes whatever meat is on hand. Think squirrel, possum, or raccoon. The hearty dish, often mixed with corn, lima beans, tomatoes, and potatoes, may have gotten its name from a thick porridge.
Okay, so that's definitely something in that armpit then, right? Because
yes.
I was like, that's not something from up here. Because you said squirrel, and no thanks.
Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah. Okay. Next we have is Scrapple.
No.
I'm going to say it's fake.
Fake.
This is a delicacy from the northeastern side of the country. Scrapple is a mixture of pork scraps, cornmeal, flour, and spices, which is formed into a loaf, then later sliced, fried, and covered with gravy.
The fuck? Who is this?
This is like meatloaf, but not like... What are pork scraps?
That's what I want to know.
What part of the pork?
For a minute, I dated a guy from the Baltimore, Maryland area, and this was his favorite dish to have every Saturday morning. Scrapple.
In the morning? In the
morning, like breakfast? This was breakfast?
This is a breakfast food, yes, because they put like a gravy over it.
Like sausage gravy?
Yeah.
Just because you put gravy on it don't mean you should eat it. God damn it. Ugh. Uh-uh.
This one should be easy. Hush puppies.
Real.
Real good too.
Chippers.
Chippers. Real.
I'm going to say real also.
Yes, it's actually from the Dakotas. It is just like ridgy potato chips, I guess wavy potato chips, covered in chocolate.
No.
You're not a salty and sweet person?
Don't put...
My grandma used to make these cookies out of Old Dutch potato chips in sugar cookies, and they are like the best salty, sweet, amazing.
That sounds delicious.
I'm going to make you some when you come visit me.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
I'll eat a little bit.
Next is swamp cabbage.
Real.
Hold up, say that again.
Swamp cabbage.
It sounds like something they make down in Alabama or Mississippi.
It's just the core stems of Floridian palm trees. So I guess they cook it like cabbage and it's just palm tree hearts.
Hmm.
Oh, from the Florida region.
Okay.
Again,
desperate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Horseshoe sandwich.
Fake. Not real.
I hope it's fake.
It's true. A piece of toasted bread topped with a beef patty, French fries, and cheese sauce. Came from the Wisconsin area.
You sure that's not a patty melt?
It's not a patty melt. It changed its names when you added the French fries.
Oh, okay.
I feel like somebody in Wisconsin is just trying to make that happen. Like, quit trying to make fetch happen. It's not happening.
Not going
to
happen, but I would eat it.
I would eat it,
too. I'm going to have to find that. I like fries.
Drunk Lydia would eat that in a heartbeat. I've had tacos or burritos with French fries on it. Mm. Mm-hmm. I was so drunk, but it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I know this. Y'all will know this one. Jambalaya.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Good time.
Good, good. Puppy chow.
Yes. Ugh. Real.
That's so fucking weird.
What?
Morgan, don't look at me like that.
How do you not like puppy chow?
Are you not a sweet tooth, Janita?
It's called puppy chow. Puppy chow is dog food. And then you wanted me to eat this dog food and you put it in a plastic bag. I don't get it. And it's powdered sugar. No. Puppy chow is fucking gross.
It's peanut butter and chocolate and cereal and sugar, and it's like, oh, delicious. God, when you're like really, really, really tired, it's got that crunch and that delicious. I'm gonna make
okay, so down south, we don't call it puppy chow. They call it muddy buddies. Does that make it any better, Janita?
You're eating mud now. And it's a buddy? No. This is the Illinoisan in me, and she real uppity, okay? In Chicago, we ain't playing that shit.
Okay, so we're down to the question of the day. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No. No, it's not a sandwich.
It's between two pieces of bread.
Here's the thing. You could make a hot dog sandwich, but a hot dog on a bun is not a sandwich. Because when you are poor and all you have is bread, then you put two hot dogs on a piece of bread and put the other bread on top of it, and now I got a hot dog sandwich.
But in if I put two pieces of bread around my head is not a sandwich all of a sudden because I put bread around it. It's still my head.
No, Morgan, good goddamn point. What is it then?
It's a hot dog.
But if you put it on a list of things, like a burger is a sandwich. Where's the
burger?
Guys, y'all know damn it's a burger. It's a sandwich.
No,
it's what makes a sandwich a sandwich? Okay, there we go. What makes a sandwich?
Two different menus. There is the sandwich menu, which you find chicken sandwiches, Philly cheesesteaks, BLTs, club sandwiches, and then there's a burger menu because it's different.
What makes it a sandwich? What makes a sandwich a sandwich?
It's not a burger.
Y'all stupid. That's not even a reason. They're like a calzone. Is a calzone a sandwich?
No, calzone is a calzone.
You can't use that as a definition. You can't say a calzone is a calzone.
What's the definition of sandwich? Because hot dog and hamburger don't count as sandwiches.
It is something with meat and cheese put together in a stack. Makes it a sandwich. Which is why a hot dog's not a sandwich. That's what
here we go.
I just made that up.
The definition of sandwich is an item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other fillings between them, eaten as a light meal.
Oh, a
Okay.
light pole.
Sandwiches are not light if you eat them the way that my husband does.
Well, ladies, I appreciate you being here with me today. I think we had amazing conversation. It reminds me why I love both you. We had a little bit of technical difficulties at the end of that episode, so I wasn't able to say goodbye, but I did want to say thank you again to Janita and Morgan for doing that episode with me. It was great. It was amazing. I had great conversation. I look forward to future conversations. So please, everybody, have a wonderful week, and I'll see y'all next week. Bye. Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at sip_the_sauce. And make sure you check for new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day.